goal of research learning centers is to promote research in the national parks through partnerships and just assistance with permitting and logistics and connections with other research that's gone on in the past pertaining to that person's topic. The other part of it is to educate the public and park staff about the research that's going on so that they're a little more kept abreast of what's happening and what's the latest in science on those topics and can use that information to assist with management decisions. And then the public can use it to just inform themselves and understand a little more about our current state of knowledge about the resources being studied. And then they also aim to engage people in research directly. That's done through a variety of different means. And in our case, we do citizen science, which quite a few of the national or the research learning centers also do, as a way to both help us meet the needs that we have for additional research that we can't, you know, fund directly in a traditional way, and also to inform the public about what's going on and increase science literacy.
And, of course, the parks are great laboratories, aren't they? Because they are, for one, protected. And another reason is they're usually in spots that have a lot of interesting science going on.
Yeah, Glacier being a place that has incredible biodiversity with a lot of different ecosystem types from our lowest elevations of around 3,000 up to our 10,000-foot peaks. So, you know, and we often in national parks find sort of a controlled environment with prohibited harvest of animals and things like that that make it so that it's a little bit easier to sort out natural factors from human-caused factors in at least some cases. And so, there's a lot of research needs in national parks.
And the citizen science programs, as I understand, started in 2005, I assume in part in response to shrinking budgets to get some extra help?
Yeah, that was certainly part of it. And the other part of it was just to, you know, even with all the budgets in the world, which we never actually have, we would like to know more about a lot of the things that we can't get a good handle on. Citizen science is not just a way to replace paid jobs on the ground, and in fact, in a lot of cases, it shouldn't be viewed in that way at all because it's just not a one-for-one exchange. Citizen scientists don't do the same type of work as biologists. They go out and collect research data in a very different way. And the way that we try to leverage citizen science is by having large volumes of people involved so that we get lots and lots of data, can cover lots of territory in Glacier, and make up for the differences in skill level that people come by having such a large volume of data that it's not noticeable.
Because that is one of my questions. You do, I think, a one-day training for different projects and so on, but these are still people who are basically not necessarily trained scientists. I was wondering how reliable the data is, but it sounds like the quantity gives you quality.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. What we have done is done evaluations of the programs that we have currently established and tried to look at that very question. I did a pretty extensive study with our mountain goat surveys, for instance, where we had biologists go to a portion of the survey sites that the citizen science volunteers were covering so that we could see whether we were getting statistically similar results. And what we found was that because of the large number of times that volunteers can visit the sites, our citizen scientists were going to each survey site sometimes up to 10 or 12 times, whereas biologists could only go 3 times with that same amount of funding. And by getting more frequent visits to the location, it stabilized the counts so that we were able to see more of the population that lived in the area because they were located at the survey site at just the right time. Being in the right time at the right in the right place is often an important thing and something that you need to hit that site quite a few times to achieve. So by having a larger volume, they were able to match statistically what the results we were getting from biologists. We also compared it with aerial surveys and found a very similar thing, which was encouraging because aerial surveys for mountain goats are the gold standard, but they're expensive. It can be somewhat disturbing to have helicopters flying overhead for visitors. And so by being able to engage citizen scientists on the ground to get similar results that we would get with aerial surveys, we can then use that for long-term trend monitoring and also compare it to other programs that use aerial surveys for monitoring their mountain goat populations throughout the state.
And what kind of participation have you historically gotten in the program, Jamie? I would assume that it's a popular program. You get to hang out in the park and do some good work.
It's pretty popular. We've trained over 700 people since we started in 2005, and that includes visitors who come short-term as part of their vacation, as well as the primary constituent is local people who live in the area, in the Flathead Valley, on the east side of Glacier, in places like that, that they can come to the park frequently. We also work with students and university groups, so we have a pretty diverse audience. And, it's fun. You know, people basically get to go to places that they would already choose to go and just spend a little bit of extra time focused and watching for the species we're asking them to monitor, and then give us back the information. So we're kind of trying to capitalize on the fact that people are already out there doing these things by channeling that information back to us so that we can use that data and then train them and go one step further to have them, you know, be more educated and know what to look for so that we get good, solid quality data back.
And each year, I assume the projects are different, and this year you have three projects. One is to study goats and pikas, another common loons, and another invasive plants. Goats and pikas sound fun to me because I'm partial to pikas.
What's your interest in pikas?
I think they're such an interesting creature in that they live pretty much at high elevation, but now they're being threatened, I think, by climate change and how that's going to change their habitat, I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're unique because they're a alpine-dwelling rabbit family member that doesn't hibernate. So they're very well adapted to that lifestyle. They collect hay and store it under rocks and talus fields that they can use all winter. And what that means is they have to put a lot of energy into foraging in the summertime when the hay is growing, when the sun's shining, and put that hay away so that they have it to keep them alive all winter. And if temperatures are high and they need to hide under the talus for greater portions of the day so that they don't get that time to forage, that can reduce their success and cause them to not be able to have enough calories to make it through. Another problem that they can face is if the spring snowmelts occur earlier than is typical for their area and they no longer have that insulative snow blanket too early in the season, that can expose them to problems as well. So, the High Country program focuses on mountain goats and pikas. We're also this year asking people to look for bighorn sheep since we're already in those habitats and have some earlier studies to compare with that we would like to see if we can leverage. Really trying to look for baseline population information about those species so that we can see if changes are occurring over time.
One of the byproducts of the program, too, Jamie, isn't it, is that you develop a constituency of people who care even more about the park and the park's future.
We hope so. That's a big goal of it, is to educate people about why these species are a concern and why the greater park is such an important refugia for those species and place to keep intact. I think one of the things that I think is so neat about this experience is that we train people how to slow down and sit still for long enough that they get to observe these things. And by doing so, they often observe a lot more than just the mountain goats, pikas, or loons that they're out there looking for. But they see potential predation occurrences. They learn a lot about the habitat, and they just get a chance to reflect on what's really going on out there and develop their own understanding of the species as well as of the park in general.
For people listening who want to spend part of their summer slowing down, what's the best way for them to find out about the Citizen Science Program and how they might participate?
We have information on the park's website. If you go to Glacier National Park's website at www.mps.gov/glac, you'll see the Crown of the Continent Research Learning Center on the front page has a quick link, and then find information about our Citizen Science Program that way and get just the background. We also have training sessions that will go on throughout the season, some coming up right away here, one this Friday the 7th, and another one for our High Country program on June 18th, and then we have a loon training on June 12th. And we'll have several more throughout the season as people express interest and we find dates to work with them on So basically, find out information, see if there's a program that you're interested in, and come take a one-day training. It's a really fun educational opportunity to learn about that species or those species that you'll be studying for the rest of the summer. And then what we ask from the people who come to do those trainings is that they try their best to give us back 3 surveys throughout the course of the season so that we can get a little bit back for the investment that we make in educating them about loons or mountain goats or pikas or invasive plants, and give us the data that we need to use to make management recommendations.
Well, I have been speaking with Jamie Belt, who's the Citizen Science Program Director with the Crown of the Continent Research Learning Center, and she's been talking with us about the Citizen Science Program. Jamie, it sounds like a great program that a lot of people probably will be interested in participating in, and I want to thank you for talking with us about it today.
Thank you, Sally, and I'm hoping that maybe there's one more thing I can add in, which is to say thank you to our program supporter, the Glacier National Park Conservancy. We have a partnership with them as a way to raise additional funds for the national park that are needed to do things like this, to do the additional research that we don't have funding for through Congress, and we really appreciate their support and the support that we get from their partnership in general to help us fill the gaps.
Well, thanks again, Jamie, and have a great summer.
Thank you, Sally.